to the Beer Canspiracy Show. It's a comedy podcast where three best buds sit around and talk about the supernatural, conspiracy theories, true crimes, and more. Pretty much anything weird. Now, we tend to pull no punches, so a mature listening audience is advised. But if you like to have a good time, then crack open a cold one, pull up a chair, and hang out with the boys of the Beer Canspiracy Show. Welcome to the Beer Canspiracy Show. Thank you guys for joining us. We're your hosts. I'm Aaron.
And I'm Jared. We are missing a Dirty D again. He is in Disneyland.
Disney World.
Disney World. You remember, was it Bulletproof? Adam Sandler? Remember he pretended to be like mentally handicapped and they're like, where are we going? He's like, Disneyland.
I haven't seen that movie in a long time.
It is Bulletproof, isn't it?
Yeah, with Damon Wayans.
Damon Wayans, yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
That's a good movie.
I do not like it that much, but it is a good movie. It's not like a Adam Sandler movie I watch over and over again.
I don't know. I haven't seen it in a long time. I know I have it on DVD.
I've only seen it like 2 to 3 times.
It wasn't one of the classics like Billy Madison right. When you were a kid, but I feel like it was a good movie that's under the radar that nobody ever talks about or anything. No, maybe not. I had it on DVD when I was a teenager. I don't know. Maybe I just
welcome liked to movie talk with Jared and Aaron.
Disneyland.
Anyway, in this episode, J-Rod is gonna be giving us the topic today.
Yeah, it's another bonus from me. Y'all know I don't do a lot of main topics. Only like 3 or 4, I think, at this point. But I have done a lot of bonus, and this will be another one.
So you just watched a good documentary?
Yeah, so it's about...
Give it out to the world.
John Rufo, which I doubt anybody's heard of this before.
Never.
He's a top 15 most wanted fugitive on the U.S. Marshals. Apparently they have like a top 15, like the FBI has the top 10. And
so
it's been...
Every agency have a different list?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't know. FBI and the... I'd never even heard of this before. FBI definitely has the top 10 most wanted. The U.S. Marshals has the top... It's just called 15 Most Wanted Fugitive. And basically what that means is if there's any kind of tip, clue, or any inkling where you know how to solve it, then you drop everything you're doing, no matter who it is in the U.S. Marshals. If somebody's like, oh, I know where John Rufo is, you have to stop what you're doing and dedicate all of your time and resources to solving this. And he's been on the top 15 most wanted fugitive list for the U.S. Marshals for over 25 years.
We might have to look this up. What is their jurisdiction?
U.S. Marshals?
Yeah.
I think it's just anywhere in the U.S., basically.
Oh, so
it's basically like police for the United States. Like, think of
So how do they differ
think
from
of
the
a
FBI?
State cop. The FBI has the power to do things anywhere, I thought. They have, like, world offices, don't they?
Mm-mm, that's federal. CIA would take over.
I don't really know that much about the U.S. Marshals, if I'm being
honest.
That's
why I wanted to ask, because I don't know
either. I'm...
The only U.S. Marshal I know is Tommy Lee Jones. And he caught Harrison Ford and Wesley Snipes. So that's a good track record.
Was that the cheerleading movie?
No!
It's like Texas State or something like that?
No, that's U.S. Marshals.
I never saw that. What am I thinking of? Man of the House or something like
that?
Yeah,
something like that.
Terrible movie. Terrible movie.
I honestly can't think of the name of the movie.
I'm glad you brought this up because I really wasn't going to talk about it much, but it kind of seems like the U.S. Marshals is a joke.
The Fugitive.
Like, the Fugitive. I have heard of that before. It seems like the Marshals are a joke. I thought they were like really badass, but it's kind of just like they sit around on computers and they're just like...
I'm sorry. I was right. Fugitive is with Harrison Ford, and then U.S. Marshals is...
Wesley Snipes?
Yeah,
okay. Snipes. I need to watch that. Snipes is the shit.
If you haven't seen that, that's a great movie.
I'll try to check that out. Yeah, I was saying, I think the Marshals, I thought they were super badass, and they like just toted guns and just shot everybody and were hardcore, but it seems they're just a bunch of computer nerds.
Like the Rangers, like Texas Rangers or something. Fucking cowboys.
For this case specifically, there was a couple people working on it at all times. And they were basically just like converting paper files into electronic files. And that was what they were doing to make it more organized so they could like try to find new evidence. That sounds like a little bit of a bitch. How are you going to solve a case?
What do you mean, like,
that?
It was like the time period it was in that they were just...
No, they're doing that currently, which is ironic because it's kind of John Rufo's thing. We'll get into it. I could talk about how the Marshals are fucking pussies all day, but get at me. John Rufo was born on November 26, 1954. He is an American business executive, white collar criminal, and confidence man, which I guess you just call like a swindler or a
con man.
Con man, yeah. In 1998, he was convicted in a scheme to defraud U.S. banks and even foreign banking institutions for over $350 million.
That's a shitload of
That's
money.
That's a fuckload of money. It's actually, I think the number was $353 million.
That is a last big job and runaway.
It's considered the most significant case of bank fraud in U.S. history. Fuck. Which is surprising to me because I've never even heard of this motherfucker before.
That's
you heard
probably,
about like the Bernie Madoff.
That's probably why
and all,
you
like,
haven't heard about it. He stole so much money. They don't want you to know about him.
There's a whole bunch of shit we're going to get into. This is such a complicated, interesting case, and I'm not going to do it justice because I'm just reading a couple of the main bullets off of Wikipedia, and then we're just going to kind of talk about, because I listened to a bunch of podcasts, and I watched a documentary, and I read a little bit. I'm just going to kind of recall it all from memory. So watch a documentary on Hulu. It's really good. Or there's a podcast.
What's it called?
It's called Have You Seen This Man? That's the name of the documentary and that's the name of the podcast. If you want to know more about it in detail, they're going to do a better job of presenting the facts. But I don't know. I just thought it was really interesting for some reason. He has been on the run since 1999 or 98, I believe. And he's, like I was saying, he's on the top 15 most wanted fugitive from the U.S. Marshals. He was born, like I said, in 1954 to a close-knit Italian-American family in a working-class neighborhood in Brooklyn, which is a very high concentration for mob people.
Yep.
That comes into the story a little bit. Not a whole lot, but it's just one of the theories, kind of. He went to NYU on a scholarship, and he earned a degree in computer science. He had a childhood sweetheart, Linda. She's a big part of the story.
Sounds hot.
She is kind of hot, actually. She's a little bitty Italian lady, dark skin, black hair, like tiny little woman. She's very attractive.
She make good when spaghetti. She
was, fuck yeah, dude.
Fuck yeah, dude. You know it, man.
What's that chick's name from Henry Hill?
Oh, yeah.
What's her name?
I say it all the time. I tell it to Laura as a joke all the time when she's aggravating me. Karen. Karen!
Yeah.
Karen, you bitch! That's what I always say to her. Way before, like, the Karen thing became a thing with the memes and the internet people, like, just from that movie, because I love Goodfellas, my favorite movie.
That is a really good movie.
Top three for sure.
Top.
I don't know. 10. I say Predator and Goodfellas, one and two.
Top,
they're very close.
Top 10 for sure.
So in 1980, he married his childhood sweetheart, Linda. He started out working for another company, United Computer Systems in New York, and then eventually started his own firm a few years later. And their first client was a cemetery, and they converted paper file into digital file on computers. And he named it CSS, as in Cemetery Computer Services, but then later changed it to Consolidated Computer Services.
He named it after his first job?
Yeah, well, like, as he was starting the company, he basically, like, met the people through the cemetery with his old job, and then was like, I can do it all. He's like, I'm going out on my own. Let y'all can be my first client. And he just named it CSS. It was, like, what everybody called it. CCS, I'm sorry. Was what everybody called it. And then he later changed it to Consolidated Computer Services instead of Cemetery.
What was he just going to do, like every cemetery or something?
No, I don't. I mean,
is that what he called it or people called it?
No, that's what he called it officially.
That's weird.
And then later changed it. I don't know why. I mean,
just a weirdo.
I think it was just one of those deals where he was already a computer programmer or whatever. And then he decided to go out on his own, and it was his first big client, and it probably, like, kind of put him on the map. So he just kind of just, like, named it that right away. I don't know. I didn't really look at that much. It doesn't really matter. But everybody called the company CCS.
I'm free for the next 15 minutes. Let's dive into why he called it Cemetery.
Because his first contract was through a cemetery. Yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
So that's like kind of like a little bit of his background. I'm going to go off the cuff from here on out. He started his company, CCS, I want to say like mid-80s, mid to late-80s or whatever, and started out as a super small company. He had like one or two employees and himself. He started building the company. I mean, this is the perfect time just to be a computer nerd, basically,
right? Oh, fuck right. Has the internet even been born
yet? Yeah, it's like very limited, though, at that point. I mean, if you got into computer science in the 80s, like you were primed to be successful at that point.
Yeah.
Which he did. I mean, I wanted a little bit of a background on him. They described him as being a short, doughy man. Doughy as in like zero physical prowess. Not just like fat. He's not a huge fat guy. He's just like tiny little pudgy dude.
Stocky.
Like
stocky.
Not even stocky. Just okay. I don't know how to explain it. Just doughy, a fucking nerd.
Doughy. Yeah.
Doughy, I guess, doughy is the nerd. Best way to, doughy nerd.
Let's
right.
go with that.
So, like, we're big dudes, but we work for a living. Like, we're fucking, we can throw some weight around. Like, we're muscular and we're fat at the same time. We're stocky. This dude is, like, fucking little bitty nerd.
I eat for all my energy.
Yeah, right.
Pizza is energy.
This dude's, like, 5'5", tiny little dude. He has, like, no physical prowess whatsoever. Weak as shit computer nerd. And I think he's been like that his whole life.
That's cool, though. I mean, he's got his strength. He's a smart guy.
I mean, that's all going to come into... Basically, I'm just going to paint a picture of his character, where he came from, who he is. He's a little bitty computer nerd. When he was about 40 is when all the trouble started happening and he got in trouble. He's already fully bald. He looks like George Costanza.
How old is he?
Now he would be...
No, when you're talking about like in the 80s.
Oh, he would have been like early 20s probably.
Well, everybody looked older back then, or aged.
He was not a good looking guy. He was not. He's just.
So how did he get Linda?
Childhood sweethearts. Apparently, this guy is like really smart and charismatic. Nice. And somehow everybody said he commanded the room, which seems kind of stupid to me. I mean, a computer nerd who is 5'5" and fat and bald does not seem like somebody that would command the room. But
Joe Pesci, dude. He must have been a funny guy.
That's a fuck. We just watched My Cousin.
He must have been a funny
guy. Laura had never seen My Cousin. Because of Marissa Tomei, so hot.
Dude, she just turned like 59.
Still hot.
Yes, she's
still
a
hot.
Beautiful woman. My Cousin Vinny, I think, is her hottest.
Oh, for sure. Laura had never seen that before. And we watched it the other night.
She bites her lip, dude. She does that lip biting thing, and it's just like, I've ruined so many pairs of underwear because of that lip biting thing. Sheesh.
All right, I need to move it forward a little bit. Anyway, he starts the company. It's growing pretty progressively over like the course of 10 years. Just a normal guy, owns his own business or whatever. It's becoming successful as the internet age starts to boom. A lot of these companies are switching from paper to digital, basically. And he's primed to do that. So he grows the business, and I guess he makes enough capital to where he wants to start selling computers. Like, a lot of large companies don't want to outsource their coding and their, what do you call that? Data input to a third party. So they're buying their own computers and hiring their own people. So he gets into selling computers. Basically, he becomes a computer salesman / data input / he's just like a one-stop shop for computers.
Well, I mean, nobody
basically
had like, that's when like the home computer was just popping off. Not even,
I mean,
really
early 90s
off.
It wasn't yeah. It was mostly only businesses could afford,
right,
it.
That's
like,
what it wasn't really
late
80s
early
off.
90s.
It was, this is like what you're saying, just it was really just starting like to even get the idea of computers.
So the reason why I'm talking about all this is because you think, like, why would this man who has a successful business, is growing rapidly in the golden age, he has, like, hit the big time as far as being primed to make a shit ton of money. You know, in the 90s, he's a very successful businessman, growing the company. I'm sure he's not hurting for money. They talked about him. Goddamn dog. They talked about him.
Give me a beer. It's early, dude. People are just getting home. 4:44, make a wish. my wish came true. The dog stopped.
Yeah. What was I saying? I'm fucking drunk, dude. Like, I don't know just, what my problem is.
He's primed to...
Okay, yeah. So why would this guy who is... He went to college on scholarship, married his high school sweetheart. They're like best friends. He loves his wife. She's smoking hot. They're making friends. They're hiring all their friends to work for him.
They still in Brooklyn?
Yeah. No, they're in New York. They're like in Manhattan.
Okay.
This dude's got like the best life imaginable. Smoking hot wife. He's making all kinds of new friends. The business is booming, growing. They're hiring their friends to work with him. Like, this dude's got it made. Why would he go and defraud all these banks out of $350 million? It doesn't make any sense.
Greed. You always got to have more.
When
is he banging little kids too?
No, I never mentioned. No, never mentioned him being a pedophile. When did the movie Wall Street come out?
Late 80s.
Okay, well, apparently Wall Street was his favorite movie. I gotta look it up because I gotta know.
Did you ever watch Hot Shots Part 2? Mm-hmm. There's this part where the star is Charlie Sheen. There's this little cameo by his dad. So Charlie Sheen's in a boat going one way, and his dad is in a boat going the other way, and they look at each other, and they're like, "I loved you in Wall Street." And
then that's funny. Wall Street came out in 1987. So this guy sees Wall Street and becomes obsessed with the movie. It's his favorite movie. He wants to be...
I've never seen it.
I saw the second one. I saw the sequel because Shia LaBeouf...
Money Never Sleeps.
Shia LaBeouf's in it, so I bought it on Blu-ray when it came out.
It's not very good.
I watched it once, no, I think.
Did I say I didn't see it?
Yeah, you said you didn't see it.
I think I watched like the first.
No, you said you never saw the first one.
Yeah, I've never seen the first.
Me neither.
I don't give a shit. Whatever.
Anyway, it's not very good. I saw the second one. Anyway, he loves Wall Street. He becomes upset. He wants to be like a big shot Wall Street trader, like day trader or whatever. He wants to be rich. He wants to like live that Wall Street lifestyle. But at this point, he's already started his own company and he's fully into doing this. And I think he actually was majoring in finance at NYU before his professor talked him into going into computer science. I think he switched like his junior year of college and then...
Fuck, dude, that's late.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently, I guess enough switched to... I don't know how shit works. But anyway, he graduated computer science and I guess he regretted it. So Wall Street comes out after that. And then he's like, fuck, I want to be a...
He regretted the computer science?
Yeah, he wanted to be a Wall Street dude. I guess he basically... They kind of determined that he's just like a narcissist who thinks he's smarter than everybody.
Kind of is, though, right?
Yeah, I think so. Well, we're going to get into all that. He wants to be a big shot money guy. He wants to be super rich, powerful kind of thing. I guess maybe it might be because he was... A doughy, short, little, fat kid, and not, you know.
Napoleon complex.
Exactly. So that's the motive why he wanted to get all this money. So sometime in the mid-90s, he meets this guy, Ed Reiner. Reiner, I think? Yeah, Ed Reiner. He works for Philip Morris Tobacco Company. And how he met him is CCS would sell computers to Philip Morris. The guy, Ed Reiner, was a mid-level executive. He's who handled buying all the computers for Philip Morris. I guess, like I was saying, they were switching over from pencil and paper to computer systems, and they used his company, and that's how he met him. Ed Reiner kind of, they went back and forth. They became friends, and Reiner wound up getting let go from Philip Morris for whatever reason. They never really said why. I don't know if he got laid off or fired. I mean... Philip Morris in the 90s was tanking. Tobacco companies took a hit in the 90s. That's basically when MTV launched their...
But Philip Morris was in, like... Isn't that one of those companies that was in, like, everything?
I mean, they owned...
When you said tobacco, I was thinking they were in other stuff, and I was like... I think they were a tobacco
I think it's
company.
Mostly tobacco, I'm pretty
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, when you said that, I don't know them for tobacco. I think they were, like Johnson & Johnson has... They're known for like...
Maybe, but I'm pretty sure like tobacco is 90% of their shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're right. Because like when you said tobacco, I was like, oh yeah, they are a tobacco company. But they're in like everything.
Well, anyway, they took a huge hit in the 90s. And I guess maybe he just got laid off or something. I don't know.
Happened.
So him and this guy, Reiner, are now like pretty much best friends. and they together kind of cook up the scheme to defraud all this money or whatever. How did they do it? Reinert posed as a Philip Morris executive, which he used to be, and they basically decided they could get loans from banks as Philip Morris or whatever, and it was pretty easy to do. It's kind of shocking. So all you need is a signature from a Philip Morris executive secretary and have a seal from Philip Morris, or basically like a stamp or a seal or whatever. That's all you needed. And you could literally get a $100 million loan with those two things. Hmm. That's it. You didn't have to have a notary. There didn't have to be lawyers present. You needed a signature from a Philip Morris executive secretary and then a seal. That's it. And you could go in
is
there.
Is Reinert the secretary?
No, Reinert is the executive who's like.
So did he.
So he got. He's the one who goes to the banks. Him and Rufo cook this scheme up together. They go to the bank and they say, we're Philip Morris. We're trying to get a loan because Philip Morris is designing a new top secret plan, like a new top secret R&D project. We're making a smokeless tobacco product. Basically, it seems like vape, like a vape pen or whatever. But this is way before vape was even conceptualized. So it was a really good idea. It was like cutting edge scam or whatever. They go to the banks and say, we're trying to make a smokeless tobacco product and we need a loan to like research and develop and then like put it in the plan as Philip Morris. The banks are, of course, like, well, holy shit. Yeah, it's Philip Morris. Like, they're worth, you know, $50 billion a year. Obviously, they're good for the money. They don't even question it. Philip Morris calls and says they need a loan. You're basically just like, well, fuck yeah. You know you're getting
your
money back.
How much do you need?
Yeah, exactly. So they set up all these meetings. The first meeting was like for $5 million. They basically just wanted to see if they could do it. And it just went off like, you know, super easy to do. So then they just started ramping up their game, getting all these loans for a shitload of money. And so basically they would go into a meeting. Reinert would be like the executive overseeing the thing. And they would get John Rufo's secretary through CCS. I think her name was like, I closed the page out now. I think her name was like Jody or something like that. I think it was Jody. She was his secretary, and he told her, like, this is for a new project we're working on. It's top secret. I just need you to go and pretend to be this lady named Diana. And then, like, you go to the meeting. I'm going to make you some business cards, and your name's going to be Diana. You can't ask any questions. You got to be Diana. You hand out your business cards as Diana, and you sign your name as Diana. And this lady just goes along with it because apparently John Rufo's charismatic and talked her into it or whatever. And she thought she was like helping the company or whatever.
Dude, is she just making secretary money doing all this?
Yeah, I'm sure.
That sucks.
She was acquitted of all charges because she said she didn't know what was going on.
That's good. Good for her.
Yeah.
If you're not going to get any money, then you shouldn't do the jail
time.
Yeah,
I don't think she didn't get any payment. Not that they mentioned she didn't get any payment or anything. So she shows up as Diana, the executive secretary for Philip Morris, and she signs her name. How they got the seal, they went to, you could just, there's like 100 printing and ink, printing, think of like Kinko's or whatever. You could go and just like get these seals made anytime you wanted. And because Reinert worked for Philip Morris, he was obviously, you had to have a Philip Morris letterhead, like an official letterhead, which he had access to because he worked there at some point. And he also knew exactly what the seal looked like because he worked there. So they just went to fucking Kinko's on the corner and was like, I need you to make this seal because I'm a Philip Morris executive. And they made a bunch of fake ones along with the real one they needed to throw them off like the scent, I guess. I don't know. So they got that made.
This sounds way too easy.
It was way too easy. Like I was saying, all you needed was a Philip Morris letterhead, which he had access to because he worked there. He knew exactly what it looked like. So he just went down to his local Kinko's, got that typed up, got the seal typed up, and then he knew the executive secretary's name because he worked there, and he just got this other lady to pretend to be her. That's it. That's all it took. Walk into the bank and say, I need a loan for Philip. It's for Philip Morris. It's for top secret shit. You can only deal with me because I'm heading the project. You can't mention it to anybody else. And like he like even pretended to make him sign like NDAs and stuff or whatever so it didn't like leak out because it's this new technology or whatever. And then that's it. And then they walk into these meetings. give me a $20 million loan, a $50 million loan.
This just sounds like why you cannot do this
today. Now, yeah, that's exactly what I thought. That's exactly why you need a notary and you need 20 fucking people to sit into like a, when you mortgage your house, there's like 20 people in the room.
A whole table full of people.
Exactly.
I was so fucking nervous, dude. All these people are like watching me sign my name and I'm like,
I know. It's like,
am I selling my soul to the devil?
Yeah, it's crazy. I thank God that I am done with my house shit before I got anxiety, because I would probably not be able to do it now, honestly.
I was sweaty.
I bet you were. That would be so uncomfortable. I'd probably just show up drunk now. Like, I would take the day off of work and get wasted and then go sign the papers.
I
did not.
I was good because Michelle was with me and then my realtor was there and I really trusted her, so.
That's good. Yeah. I liked our realtor, too. She's cool shit. Shout out, Jennifer. I know you never listen to the podcast, but she's cool shit.
I'm friends with my realtor on Facebook.
Nice.
Yeah. We're best friends.
I got to take a piss, dude. Where did I leave off?
Diana.
I think that was the other lady's name. All right. So they did all this because John Rufo and Reiner, too, I guess, wanted to be big time Wall Street traders.
Big time.
Big time. So basically, Rufo thought he could beat the stock market. He thought he'd get all these loans out and then just pay them back because he thought he could double, triple, quadruple his money in the stock market. So he thought he was going to get out $300 million in loans and just pay it back and they'd never know.
So he's just gambling.
Basically, yeah. He's pretty much a gambler.
He's kind of taking out a loan in an illegal way.
Right.
That's what he wants to do.
He wants to be a fucking high roller in the stock market. That's it.
So dumb.
He gets his three.
What does Reiner want? Like, what?
They never really talked about his motive. What he really. I guess he just wanted a fuckload of money. Yeah. He just wants
money. Maybe he just wants to fuck over Philip Morris, too, for.
Probably, too. Maybe so. That's probably definitely, you know, a factor in it for sure.
Crazy.
So this is like the mid 90s at this point. Over the course of a couple of years, they're getting these loans out and they're paying back the loans with the previous loans. Like, they got out $50 million loan from this bank and they go get a new, you know, $50 million loan out and they'll start making the payments on them. It's just like loan payments. So you get out a $50 million loan, your payment might be $500,000 a month for 10 years or whatever. And then you just like paying back your loans with the money you're taking out or whatever. Think about it. So you got.
Well, I thought they were going big. Like,
well, they are going. They're going fucking huge. They've got out. You know, 200. Let's just say at this point, mid-90s.
Okay.
They've got out $200 million in loans, and they're just like making minimum payments on their loans, and they're with the other $190 million. They're doing the stock market.
Okay.
Makes sense.
Yeah. It's dumb, but okay.
I mean, they're getting out of when they need payments. When they need money for payments, they'll just go take out a new loan for $10 million, $20 million, whatever. And they'll pay all their loans with that loan. It's kind of like paying credit card debt with credit card.
Yeah, you know, it just don't make sense, though.
Like I said, he thought he could beat the stock market.
Obviously, he's not very good at the stock market.
Well, they made a shitload. I mean, stock market is, you make money, you lose money. It's like gambling. I mean, they might, you know, bet big on they might invest big on a stock and make $10 million on that one, like over the course of 6 months. And they might lose $8 or $9 million on another one. You know, it's just a gamble, really. And this is, I'm pretty sure the 90s was like a big boom in the stock market. There's a lot of activity or whatever after the recession of the 80s.
I don't really know.
Bill Clinton brought the heat. I'm pretty sure the economy boomed. So there's a lot of money to be made in the stock market. They never really said whether or not they were successful in the stock market or not.
But they didn't say, they probably weren't. They were probably just like making enough to pay
the loans back. Yeah. They never really said whether or not they were successful in the stock market. I do know that they were throwing big money around. It was like he got off on it big time. He would call his broker. It's one specific lady worked for one company. I don't remember. He would talk to her and be like, yeah, I'm putting $50 million in this today. And she would be like, oh, fuck. And she would just, her pants would just moist over and just water, you know, juices are running down her leg. She's super impressed. Big time.
It sounds, I don't know. I just had like a whiff of like ham juice in my face.
From
not
me?
Like that's just like oh. When you said that, that's like that's what I
sweaty
I'm,
ham like, in the crock pot,
like ham juice just beer me. It's just what I imagined. My head went to a weird place, I guess. Maybe I'm hungry.
Yeah, that was awkward.
Anyway, I mean, he just, big money all is the, good all in this, the stock market. You gotta, like they say, play big to win big.
So right around this time, he's like becoming who he wants to be. He's throwing around this money. People are like taking notice. They're going out to, and his wife kind of sees all this, and she doesn't really ask questions. I guess maybe he was lying to her about how successful the business was.
There's no way to not. No.
I mean, they were talking about going out to dinner and spending $10,000 on a dinner. Like, how would you not know we got it going on like that, you know? Crazy thing is, they lived modestly the entire time. They lived in a normal-ass apartment in New York, which, I mean, I'm sure it was still expensive. They're, you know, business owners, but it wasn't like a $100 million apartment, right? You know, they're living...
I don't know how it was back then, but you don't live in New York, like, cheap.
Well, no, for sure. You for sure don't. So they start going out to these expensive dinners. He's throwing money around. He's like, he's a big shot now. And his wife doesn't really question it. Also, during this same time, he starts telling all these stories like, I'm in the FBI. And people are just like,
okay, guy, you're not in the FBI. Yeah,
people are just like,
you're not that guy.
This dude's kind of crazy. Like, he's telling like his broker, you know, he's got all like, he's got accountants and all this other shit. People are around because he's got all this money now. So he's, you know, the business is huge. He's got 20 or 30 or 40 employees now or whatever it is. He's like telling all these stories like, you know, I'm in with the government and that's why I've got all these money and resources. And he's saying all this crazy shit.
They don't make.
He's telling people he's in with the government. He's in the FBI. He's a spy. He's like saying all this crazy shit. And people are kind of, okay, dude, whatever you say, man, whatever. So they're just kind of like questioning it. It's kind of weird what's going on. All these crazy changes are happening in this guy's life, right? He's super rich, throwing money around. His wife is just like, okay, I guess the business is doing really good. And he was kind of telling him too that the Philip Morris thing, he had a contract with Philip Morris, and that's why he was hanging around Reiner so much, and that's where all this money's coming from, right?
That's believable. But
Philip Morris is a major company. He's like, yeah. You know, we're selling a shit ton of computers to him and all these services is where all the money's coming from, I guess. And then also he's saying he's in the FBI and all this shit. And people are just like,
okay,
like,
Johnny.
Okay, Johnny. Yeah, right. You're a spy.
Little Johnny, you in the
you're
FBI.
All this stuff. Well, right around the same time. Okay, no, I'm not going to just. I'll jump ahead a little bit. So they're still doing the money scams. They go to this one meeting. The secretary goes and Reiner goes. And I think it's for like a huge chunk. It's for like $100 million. And this is like the last one. So they go to the meeting for the loan. I think it's like 100 mil. So this is like now they're up to over $350 million. They close on it. Blah, blah, blah. They actually did this one at the Philip Morris headquarters, like the executive offices. Somehow he got in there. Yeah.
They got Reiner too?
Yeah. He got in there and they did the whole facade. Blah, blah, blah. On their way out.
Oh, they went in, so they had like a separate room, like a room, and they were like...
It was actually at Philip Morris. They somehow weaseled their way into...
No fucking way.
Yeah. I think Reiner's ex-wife still worked for Philip Morris, and that's how they were kind of like on the inside still. He was probably like feeding her money or whatever.
That's ballsy, dude.
Right. So they closed this deal out, $100 million loan. They're walking out to the parking lot when it's all said and done. FBI arrest Reiner. And the secretary, Judy, I think is her name.
You said Jody.
Jody. Okay. Judy, Jody, Jolie. I'm pretty drunk at this point. It's all based on memory. They arrest them. Julie is just like, what's going on? She's confused as hell. She don't know what's happened, why she's being arrested. Reiner is just basically like, oh, fuck. We're caught.
Dude, Rufo fucking...
He wasn't at this meeting.
Oh.
He wasn't at this meeting.
He turned rat, didn't he? What a dick, dude.
Okay, so they never actually said who gave the tip to the FBI? Why did the FBI show up and arrest these people? Like, how do they even find this out? They're still making their payments. It's not like they were like taking this money and they weren't making payments or whatever. Just somehow, it's like they got an anonymous tip that this was happening, and then they shut it down. They arrest Reiner, and they arrest the secretary. Like, where does it come from? Why isn't Rufo there? It's almost like he knows. It's like he's got inside information.
Rufo the rat.
Rufy the rat. Maybe. I don't know.
But I don't so understand why basically, if they're making all their payments
they arrest stuff. Those two and they roll over on Rufo immediately. They're like, Rufo's the fucking, he's the mastermind. And the secretary's saying, like, I didn't know anything was going on. I was just trying to help my boss out, blah, blah, blah. So they make a case against Rufo and eventually he's arrested for fraud and all that. Goes to trial, and then it's time for him to, like, the arraignment. And they need, like, the bail is set at $10 million. This is a fuckload of money. But really not that much money, considering he dude's got $353 million.
What they've been doing.
So at this point, they've accounted for all the money and gotten it back, except for $13 million, I think. That, like, the original loans. They've accounted for all the money except for $13 million. He said they spent it. He said they spent it on dinners. And I mean, he didn't say hookers, but I'm sure it's hookers, right?
And blow.
Right. Drugs, alcohol.
It's the 90s, right?
Dinners. Yeah, fuck yeah. They're getting schwasted. So they set the bail at $10 million, and he's telling his lawyers, telling everybody, he's like, I have zero money. They took all the money back. I have no money stashed. Like, I have no fucking money. He's telling his wife, I'm innocent. This is a misunderstanding. I didn't do any of this. This is all Reiner's deal. I got duped. So his wife believes him. She goes to her parents, his parents, their grandparents, their aunts and uncles. Six people put up their houses towards the bail. And the lawyer argues, like, this is six people's livelihood. They put up all their life savings in their houses on the line for his bail. The valuation was short of $10 million, but the judge is like, all right, nobody would skip out.
It's like a character witness kind of thing. Like,
yeah.
He's such a good guy.
Exactly. Like, he's not
six
gonna
people put their homes.
He's not gonna fuck over six of his family members. Like, nobody would do that. So the judge is like, fine, bail set for, you know, the six people's houses or whatever. So then he gets out of prison. They're going through the court process. I think the wife, Linda, breaks down basically and is like, I need you to tell me the truth. Are you guilty? Like, tell me what's going on. And she, like, starts beating the shit out of him in the street one night. And he tells her, like, I swear to God, like, it's all they don't have a case against me. I didn't do anything wrong. It's a bunch of bullshit. I'm not guilty or whatever. So she's like all in at this point. Several months go by. The court's process is going on. And his lawyer tells him, you need to catch a plea. Like, you need to take a plea deal because you're fucking guilty as shit. They find out his defense was, what do they call it? There's a specific word for it. Basically, it's like a character defense where you tell the truth about everything, and if you've got no dirty laundry in your life, basically the jury is like, this is a good guy. You know, he can't.
He just did one thing.
He did one thing wrong. Like, this isn't, this couldn't possibly be this guy. But it turns out, like, they're digging up dirt on him, basically. He's got all this crazy shit. He's like a swindler. He's done all these scams and schemes. This is not the first time he's, like, defrauded people out of money. Through his company, he's got all this dirty laundry, and his lawyer's like, dude, take the plea, you're fucked. Like, we can't put you on the stand. They're gonna just run you through the ringer, and they're gonna prove that you're a fucking piece of shit. So take the plea. So they go to the plea, but along with the plea agreement.
So you're saying he's not only done the Philip Morris thing, he's done
more?
Yeah,
he's done a bunch of other shit. All kind of shit. I mean, like, all kind of scams and schemes. He's got all these crazy.
I just wanted to be a Wall Street guy.
That's what he says. That's what his wife said.
Okay.
They dig all that up. They dig up all of his crazy stories about him being a spy, and he was saying, like, he specifically was a spy trying to turn Russian agents, like flip them over to the U.S. side, and he, like, gave all these names. He's got all this crazy and. All this, and the lawyer's just like, dude, you're fucking nuts. Like, nobody's ever going to believe this silly shit. You know, so take the plea. Like, you're fucking crazy. You know, this is so silly. It just sounds like a fucking James Bond movie or something. It's stupid. Take the plea. So he's like, okay, I'll take the plea. He decides to plead guilty for 17 years in jail, which he was facing up to 40 years. I mean, $350 million is a shitload of money. They're going to make an example out of him. 40 years in prison. Takes the plea for 17.
Do we know how old he is at this point?
He's in his early 40s, like 42, 43.
In the 90s?
Yeah, during the trial period, he was like 42, I think. 42, 43. Part of the details of the plea agreement was that he would surrender himself to jail when it came time for the sentencing or whatever. He's out on bail right now. He's technically innocent until proven guilty. He's a free man. But when he enters the plea agreement, he's got like 60 days to get his affairs in order. Yeah, that was a part of that. So they sign the plea agreement. They go back to court. And the judge says, like, okay, you're guilty. 17 years in jail. Take him into custody. They handcuff him. They bring him like out of the courtroom to go start serving a sentence. His lawyer's like, whoa, hold up. We entered a plea agreement. He is supposed to be able to surrender himself to custody on the agreed upon date, 60 days. And the judge is like, oh shit, you're right. Bring him back in. They brought him back into the court. The judge told him, you need to surrender yourself on this date, which was 60 days from the court date. Unhandcuff him. Put an ankle monitor on him because he's a high profile flight risk, blah, blah, blah. They put an ankle monitor on him, like, you need to show back up to the prison, like, to the actual prison in New Jersey on this date at this time. They all say, yeah, 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 sign the paperwork. He's got his ankle monitor on, he leaves court. So, like, over the next 60 days, and, like, this was, like, a big part of the trial, like, the case. He was adamant about surrendering himself on the date, which means he is obviously planning all this, right? Which is, like, completely unheard of. Somebody who gets 17 years sentence, who has access to millions of dollars, $13 million is still missing as far as they know.
Okay.
Why on earth would you like let this dude go free for 60 days? At this point, like as far as they know, he could have $13 million
in his pocket.
Like they don't fucking know.
Cash.
Yeah. Anyway, he could have it under his mattress buried in the backyard. They can't account for it. He says he spent it. They're like constantly, they're like trying to find it. They're looking through his family members' accounts. They're looking through, they're trying to find this money still at this point. He's like, I spent it. He's got 60 days to turn himself in. He's got his ankle monitor on. He's like making all these checks. The company's still a legitimate company that he's running or whatever. He's trying to like sew everything up and get it all legit so it can continue on. But he's got like 30 employees or whatever it is, 30 or 40 employees. So he's like taking meetings still, trying to like finalize everything before he goes off to prison.
No sense. This guy stole millions of dollars. He's got millions of dollars hidden that he says.
He doesn't have. They can't find it. They can't prove it, though.
He says he spent it. So he's got $13 million.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Or he could have spent it. Or he could have hundreds of millions that he made in the stock market and moved into offshore accounts that they don't know about. You don't know.
Exactly. So you don't know.
Yeah,
so
you don't know anything.
Why would they just be like, okay, I trust you. I trust you, little guy.
All right.
You're not going anywhere.
We're going to jump ahead because this is running way long for what I wanted it to do.
We can just make it a full episode.
I mean, okay. All right. So all this while, he's lying.
Because I'm in the story.
Yeah.
So this makes no fucking sense.
All this while, he's lying to his wife. She doesn't even know that he's been sentenced. She doesn't know that he's pleaded guilty. He's just telling her, like,
she's not going to the court.
No, he doesn't. Well, he didn't tell her what was going on. He didn't tell her when he was. Dude, when you're out on bail, you're free man.
He's a free man.
He's telling her, like, yeah, we're like having meetings. Like, I got a meeting today with my lawyer. And he's like in court.
She must be a fucking idiot or something. Like,
I don't know.
Hot and dumb.
No, she doesn't seem hot. She's hot. She doesn't seem dumb. I don't know.
That's the thing.
You don't know if she's in on it the whole time. She could still be in on it. He might have paid her off. Who knows? Anyway, he's telling her she doesn't know anything that's going on in the case. He's telling her, like, yeah, I'm going to work. And he's got like a court hearing. He's like telling her, yeah, I got a meeting with the lawyer. And he like goes to get sentenced to fucking 17 years in jail. And she doesn't even know he's in court. She has no idea what's going on.
So if they just took him to jail and he was like,
That day that didn't shoot him, like, where are you at?
He's just gone.
He's like, gone. Exactly. She has no idea.
That'd be crazy.
No idea. So he's telling her a bunch of lies, like, yeah, I got a meeting with my lawyer. His time, like, his 60 days is up. He's making all these moves. He's still going to work. telling her he's got meetings with a lawyer when he's like going to court and shit. He's trying to finalize all of his stuff. One of the last things he does is he goes into work and he changes some kind of, like, he's an executor on all of his company's 401k. Like, now he can decide where all the money goes, like how he invested and all that. He changes that like 5 days before his time is up.
To who?
To himself. It was some other person in the company, some kind of accountant, I'm sure.
I thought you said it was him.
No, it was someone else, some kind of accountant within the company. 5 days left before he's supposed to turn himself into jail, which his wife has no idea. She still thinks he's just out on bail waiting for court hearings or whatever. She doesn't know. He changes to where he's got full control over all of his employees' 401ks. The FBI never looked into the 401k accounts for his company. They were... glazed over it. It's legit. These are legit employees. This is their money. Like, this doesn't have anything to do with the scheme or whatever. He goes and changes that to where he's the executor of the 401ks 5 days before.
This sounds fishy. It's getting fishier.
All right. So a couple days later, it's time. It's doomsday, D-Day. Time to turn himself in. He tells his wife, I got a meeting with the lawyer. He's supposed to be going to turn himself into jail for 17 years. Tells his wife, I got a meeting with the lawyer. Let me drive you to your... She had like a doctor's appointment or something. Like, let me drive you to your doctor's appointment. She's like, no, I'll just take the bus. He's like, no, I want to... Like, let me just spend some time with you or whatever. And she's like, no, it's fine. Like, I'll see you tonight or whatever. He's like, okay. He goes to his parole, or I guess not really a parole officer, but like the marshal's office. And he's like, he tells them, I'm turning in my ankle monitor. I'm driving to the jail to turn myself in to jail.
Why wouldn't they take it off at the prison?
The U.S. Marshal there took his ankle monitor off. And he's like, "Where you going to jail right now? You promise?" And he's like, yeah.
You promise? Yes, he's like,
I'm driving to New Jersey.
That's ridiculous.
I'm driving to New Jersey. I'm turning myself into jail right now. I promise. Pinky promise. Take his ankle monitor off. He goes to the ATM. He goes to JFK Airport and he vanishes. Never to be seen again. Gone. Dude, they got him on security camera at the ATM. He took out like $600, I'm sure, just to buy a plane ticket in cash. And then that was it. Saw him at JFK. Boom. Gone. Has not been seen or heard from ever again since 1998.
Okay. Let me get to my questions.
I've got a lot more. Ask you questions, but I'm going to go back into the story now.
Okay.
And reveal a bunch of stuff that it's going to blow your mind.
Well, number one is, so why make yourself executive in the 401k? Is he like getting that money? Is that where he put $13 million?
All right. So the 401k, and this is like they just found this out like a couple of years ago. They just finally dug into the 401ks. 401k accounts through the company CCS. Turns out none of the employees' names in the CCS 401k umbrella were legit.
Oh,
they didn't offer. They didn't offer 401k accounts through CCS. They were all fake names and fake social security numbers of all dead people. They had like 500 employee names that were not real.
Well, how many? You wouldn't look to see how many employees he's got.
No, apparently not.
Oh, my God.
Okay. This is all going to... I'm glad you asked this question because it's all going to paint a picture of, like, the complete, utter failure on part of the FBI and the Marshal Service.
I'm thinking...
It was all dead people. They were all born in the 1800s, the Social Security numbers.
Is this... Do I know this? Is this a question I would ask because of...
Hindsight?
Maybe. Or is this a question... I feel like it's not even because I'm smart or something. It's just like
here's
a common sense thing.
Here's the thing, though. This is the genius behind it. He takes out $350 million in loans. That's all there were. That's the only thing they care about. Remember I said he had previous schemes?
Yeah.
Those are all, they don't give a fuck about those. $350 million is on the line. They don't give a fuck about nothing except that $353 million in loans.
But why do they?
And the $13 million that's missing. They don't give a shit about anything else. He could have been hiding and stealing millions of dollars. He could have been a bank robber. They don't care about that. They're well, only
why do they give
fixated.
A shit about that if he's paying the payments?
Where did the tip come from for them to find it out?
Yeah, I don't know. Probably him.
All right.
Kansas City Shuffle.
Oh, shit, son.
Look over
it's
here
original,
so I can get out of
the original
so
Kansas
I,
City Shuffle.
So I can get out of here with not that much money, but a lot of money. Nice.
We don't know how much money this dude's got. He's got all these other scams and schemes that he ran before.
Oh, they don't know?
They don't even know.
They just
the 13 million is missing. That's the money they couldn't account for. This dude had access to 350 million. He could have made billions of dollars in the stock market and hid it in offshore accounts. You don't know. He could have made trillions. You don't even know, dude. Like $350 million in the stock market in the 90s was that's a shit ton of money. He actually was bragging to his
13 million's enough.
He was bragging to his broker, like, put $100 million on this and watch. I'm gonna. He like had enough money where he's swaying the market. He's like, put it here, and the price is gonna go.
He fucking Dogecoined it,
dude. Yes, that's how much money he had in the market.
Fuck.
They don't even know how much money he made, where he's hiding this money, because this dude's been planning this for years. Obviously, he's like a mastermind.
What?
Crazy. So they're fixated on the 13 million that's missing.
Oh, okay.
But that money could be anywhere. Offshore accounts. It could still be tied up in stocks. He's got these hundreds of fake accounts, 401k accounts. It wasn't that much money. I think they said that those 401k accounts totaled up to like maybe a few million dollars.
Yeah, not much.
But as executor of the 401k accounts, he could go to the bank, even as a fugitive, as John Ruffa, and take that money out of the bank. Or move it into separate accounts.
Right. He didn't have to go to the bank.
Well, yeah. He could just move it into separate accounts. That's how he gets like his escape. He could say like, you're my guy. You can get me out of the country. You can give me a new identity, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I'll give you $1 million. And then like right here, it's easily accessible or whatever.
Boom. There you go.
So that's like his getaway money. This is what they're thinking now. At the time, they don't even know that any of this shit exists. I'm just saying like.
Because it's so, it doesn't even, they don't know how to, they don't know.
They don't even know any of this exists.
Yeah. Okay.
In the late 90s, they look at the 401k accounts like, oh, these are legit. These are just the employees' money. They don't even think about it.
I'm still thinking like now times. Where I honestly forgot about the whole, this is early 90s, right?
Yeah. No, late 90s.
Late 90s. Well, internet, computers.
He's supposed
it's
to,
still all new.
Oh, yeah. Like there's no databases at this point that's yeah. You know, it's all brand new. And he knows how to hack and manipulate the computer systems. I mean, there's no telling what this guy is capable of while this is going. You know, he could have hacked in and stole $1 billion from banks and they wouldn't even have known it because he got, you know, because they're looking over here at this other money. Who knows what he's doing behind the scenes?
So what happened? Are we done with Ruffa?
No.
Oh,
this is the riff.
Oh,
this is the riff. So he goes missing. They're flabbergasted, like they're, you know, kind of over looking over the case and they're thinking like, why did this judge let this dude go? Like, this is crazy. Why would they sign the plea? Why would the FBI agree? Because they're the one prosecuting him. Why would they agree to like letting him turn himself in? Why would the marshal take the ankle bracelet off? That's fucking crazy. Like,
you give me another twist. Is there another twist?
So they're digging into all this. Turns out. He was working with the FBI. He was a spy.
Why? What? Oh, so probably just because he's
all
a
these crazy stories. So the FBI confirmed they had people, official agents working in his office during like the early 90s. They actually had FBI agents working out of his office as a cover through the computer company
for the
Cold War espionage, all this crazy shit or whatever.
Yeah.
He's got all these connections.
He's just like a contract. He's not in the FBI. He's just, right?
Oh,
he's,
I don't know. That's
he's
the
not
thing.
In the FBI. He's a contract of
I
the FBI.
I don't know. So the guy, the lead FBI investigator is like looking into all this stuff and people are telling him like, yeah, he was saying he's a spy and he's in the FBI. And he's like, no, this fucking bullshit. He's just telling y'all a bunch of lies. He starts looking into it. They find pictures of him, like, hanging out with the director of the FBI. There's a picture of him, like, you can look at it. There's a bunch of there's just like a bunch of proof that he was a legitimate like spy or whatever.
Well, then that would, I don't, he just probably got hired by the FBI.
I don't know. I mean, in hindsight, it kind of seems like he's got a bunch of inside information. And it's almost like the FBI perpetrated this whole thing to like, so he could disappear, like to get him out of.
No, I feel like he fucked over the FBI.
Not really.
He fucked that's over what them. That's what a contract would do.
He fucked over the U.S. Marshals. They're the ones that look like dummies.
I just don't see. Okay, I don't see him being in the FBI because that would be. I would just. The question I had is: so some nerd kid from Brooklyn got a scholarship,
right?
Was he that good in college that they would just recruit him right out of college? And there's no way. I think her name was Linda, his wife. Linda, she would not know this if she's his high school sweetheart.
Like, when did they approach him? I think they approached him in the late 80s when they realized how good he was at the computer shit.
So after he started his business.
Yeah, after he started his business. I think that's when they... Which is when the FBI agents and stuff showed up and all the weird shit started happening. He's had access to all this money, all this powerful people. Like, that's when everything just, like, ramped up in the crazy town.
I think that's all I had. So what happened to Reiner? He just went to jail.
He went to jail.
So he just fucked over that dude.
Yep. Oh, so...
And tried to fuck over the secretary, too.
He fucked over everybody. He fucked over everybody. So, you know, D-Day comes, he disappears. Judge is like, he fucking disappeared. Y'all owe me bail, motherfuckers.
Who?
The people who put up their houses.
Oh, fuck, I forgot about...
Six houses. The you state of New York of shit, seizes.
But what does it really matter? I mean, he's got all that money.
For him.
So he doesn't even be like, here's a little money.
No, that's the thing. His mom, homeless. His
Are
grandparents,
you fucking kidding
homeless.
Me?
His wife, homeless. His aunts and uncles, homeless. They lost everything. He fucked everybody over.
He had 60 days to get his affairs in order. You couldn't be like, here, you're going to lose that money. Or just,
dude, this doesn't give a fuck, dude. He's like
Jesus
stone cold.
Christ.
He's gone. Like, he told his wife he was going to have a meeting with his lawyer when he was supposed to be going to turn himself into jail. And he went to the airport and fucking vanished.
So he's not even like a Robin
stone
Hood.
Stone cold.
He's just a
dude, don't
fuck.
Give a fuck, dude.
Wow.
When he left, he left her a note. The day he left, because she was at the doctor or whatever. The note was really weird. It was basically a suicide note. Said he was going to kill himself. And that he wasn't... He said he wasn't guilty. But he got him into trouble, like, for some bad decisions, basically. And that he couldn't handle, like, putting her and the family through that. And he was going to kill himself. But then at the end of the letter, he said, you should feel better knowing that I won. I got the best of them. That's what he said.
Why?
He's gonna kill himself. Makes no sense. On the podcast I listened to about it, they brought in a like language and literature expert who like he knew about specifically the suicide note. Somehow he could pick up on like if a suicide note was legit or not or whatever based on like the way they
it's psychology.
Yeah, basically bullshit. Yeah, he's some kind of psychologist, I guess. And he said like it was not a suicide note. He said it was just him in a piss poor attempt trying to throw the cops off the trail that he like. He's trying to say he killed himself so they won't look for him, basically.
Dude, but you fuck... Your wife is homeless?
Wife, your mother, grandparents, aunts and uncles all lost their shit because of you.
But your high school sweetheart, this chick you love since you were
best
a child,
friend since you're a child.
And she's homeless too now?
Yep. That's ice cold, man. That's hardcore.
Wow. Thanks. It's a terrible story. Terrible story.
So it turns out he really had connections all throughout the government, the FBI. They've corroborated all that. I mean, they don't really know how deep all that goes. Now it just seems like all the crazy stories that he told are like, oh, I guess that could be true. You don't really know.
Yeah, he probably did a lot for them, maybe.
I saw at least some. It's at least proven that he had government contacts.
You got to get trusted to...
Right.
To meet the...
He at least had some
head of the FBI.
Connection with the FBI through this company or whatever. They don't really know how deep it goes. They can't really prove it. They do know that they're trying to investigate into how much connection. There's sealed files that the FBI won't release.
Why?
Because like it's sensitive information.
It's probably because it's like makes them look bad.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. They're still to this day won't release like half of the information because it's classified or whatever.
Redacted.
If this dude is just letting them use his office for a front, why would they have classified sealed files on it when he's a major fugitive?
Oh, yeah, no.
There's way more to the story than they're letting on, which makes me think that some of the crazy stories he told might actually be true about him being a spy. And they even corroborated a specific story about him, like, hanging out with a Russian double agent. True, it happened. He, like, told the story that he was, like, trying to flip him and all this stuff. That can't be corroborated, but he was at least with the guy. Like, he knew the guy that was, like, the Russian spy or whatever. So why would he be hanging out with a Russian spy who they were trying to turn into a double agent to work for the U.S.?
Because they needed a funny guy to hang out.
Yeah.
Turn him.
Dude, there's so many.
Joe Pesci, go turn that Russian spy. Yeah,
there's so many details that just
don't make sense.
Yeah, it's crazy. Crazy.
I don't know. I feel like he was probably just really good at computers at a time when it really mattered. The FBI probably contracted him, and then he was just, fuck you, really good, and just kept going up. But I don't know why he would meet with a Russian spy. Maybe he didn't
know.
Could
be legit. It could all be legit.
I don't know. To me, actually, being in the FBI, though. That's my final thought.
To me, it actually makes more sense for him to be like a super well-connected like spy or whatever, and that's how he vanished. He's all these connections. Maybe he just had like a bunch of information they didn't really...
I don't know, dude. If you can vanish money, you can vanish yourself. I don't feel like that's not...
Yeah, maybe so. That's but like, not a huge in this,
spy
They interviewed thing. The U.S. Marshal, like that he was retired, that was like originally on the case in the 90s. And he's like, he was the only guy we didn't ever catch. Like every other person that I ever worked, like the cases I worked, we always tracked him down and caught him. This dude is a fucking ghost. I'm talking like he went to JFK that day.
On camera.
Fucking vanished.
Where did he go?
I don't know.
Oh, they don't know where he bought a ticket to or anything?
I don't know. They didn't ever mention that. I don't know.
They know where he's at.
I'm sure he probably used a fake name. This is pre-9/11, so it's easier to lie about that.
He probably paid cash, so there's no name, right?
I don't even know how it works, to be honest with you.
I don't either. I've always paid really with don't. A card.
Yeah.
Crazy.
They did have what they thought to be a sighting at a Dodgers game, Los Angeles Dodgers, like 2 or 3 years ago. He's on camera and you can see him and like, that dude looks like him. That's fucking nuts. But it turns out it wasn't him. He's just a doppelganger.
But.
Maybe not.
What's the ultimate, like, get him to look over here? They think he's outside of the U.S., but.
He might just be at a Dodgers game. Yeah, who knows?
Was he on camera, like, flipping?
No, he's just on camera, like, right behind the batter at a Dodgers game, like, eating a hot dog. And they're like, it looks like him. Even I think it was his cousin that called in the tip.
He was fanning out $13 million. Yeah. I think that was him.
He had a briefcase on it.
And he was just like jizzing everywhere. That's a crazy story. You got it. You said I was going to be mind blown. That's a good one.
Watch the documentary. Listen to the podcast.
Well, seems like a lot of stuff. Like, why does the government do this stuff now? Because that sounds pretty good to be like I was thinking, why didn't they put him on like the no fly list or anything?
That's what I'm saying. The whole thing don't make any sense. How could a guy who is so high profile, stole so much money, they took his ankle monitor off and just, let him just get on a plane.
Just like, for a promise to be like, you're going to jail, right?
Like, I promise I'm going.
You're not going to JFK?
No, I really think I made that joke because I think they actually... The U.S. Marshal guy asked him, like, where are you going right now? And he's like, well, I'm going to turn myself into jail. And he's like, are you really? And he's like, yeah. I think that's really actually the way the conversation went. Are you, though? And he's like, yeah. He's like, okay.
Are you too busy to drive him to jail? You can't just, like...
Well, that's what the other guys were saying. Like, this dude got so much scrutiny. I'm sure he got fired.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
Why would you not... Was anybody else with him? Were there other agents? Like, were there marshals with him? Was his lawyer with him? And he's like, no, he was alone. Like, well, why'd you take his ankle monitor off? Ankle bracelet off?
Because he said he was going to turn himself in. Yeah.
He fucking pinky promised.
We blew on our thumbs.
Yeah, sucked on the thumbs and everything.
That don't make any sense.
I think that he's a well-connected guy in the government. He had a bunch of, like, information.
Okay, wait. You never brought up, like, you said there was going to be mafia stuff. Is that?
Oh, okay. Well, that's just one of the theories. So they basically were kind of the FBI government agent kind of thing. Is he's got all these connections. That's how he could have disappeared. The other theory was that he grew up in Brooklyn in a high mafia area. He could have had mafia connections. And, like, instead of him being a government agent, he could have been a mafia guy all this time. Like, laundering the money. And it was all a mafia thing, him stealing all the money, going to the stock market and all that. And that he disappeared to Italy after it was all said and done because of the mafia shit. Mm-hmm. Like, basically, oh, you made us, you know, $1 billion in the stock market off this money you stole. He's a made guy. We're going to take care of you. Put you up in Italy. Nobody will ever rat on you because we control that shit.
Straight Godfather
stuff. Exactly. Like, you go back to Italy. We're going to take care of you. You're going to live your life like a fucking king. You're taken care of. That was, like, kind of the other theory or whatever. There's a little bit of credence to that. He was, like, obsessed with Italy. He was Italian descent. He even told his wife, Linda, at some point that she needed to look into Italian citizenship during the early in the trial or whatever. And he talked about going to Italy all the time. Like, he said he wanted to move there.
And then left her.
And then he vanished.
So that don't hold it's up almost anything.
Like, it's almost like he was, like, hinting at what he wanted her to do without actually saying it.
But the mafia...
He's like, you should look into Italian citizenship.
But the mafia...
And then he would tell her, what if I, like, disappeared and just, like, we left all this behind?
The mafia would take care of his wife, though.
Yeah, but it's almost like she was too dumb to realize what he was hinting at. He can't actually say it.
Yeah, you know, but the mafia seen, would take care of his wife.
You ever seen The Town?
Yeah.
You know how, like, he's low-key hints about Florida and he leaves the oranges in the bag and she figures it out to go to Florida and meet him or whatever? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, like,
This is the same situation, except Linda's a dumbass and she just don't get it.
Poor Linda.
He's like, you should look into Italian citizenship. And she's like, why? And he's like shaking his head like, what do you mean?
Because, bitch, well, I'm going.
Because yeah, I'm going to Italy.
Going to Italy. If you want to go, you should do that.
Right. And she just doesn't get it, you know?
Nah, I don't. I'm pretty sure the mafia would take care of the retarded wife.
That was it. I mean, that was kind of the mafia theory, which I didn't think that one held as much water. I mean, I doubt he would. I don't know. I'm sure there's extradition between Italy and America, but I don't know for sure. Maybe not. I mean, if it was me, I would go where there's no extradition.
Right.
And just kind of blend.
But then remember, this is also 90s. Is that really known kind of thing? I don't really know.
Yeah.
I don't know what it means to be.
He had from the start of the trial when he got caught to when he disappeared, he had like years to figure all this out. I mean, he had
years,
like at least a year. If not, it was a multiple months.
Oh, I was just thinking, was it 60 days?
Well, I mean, he at least had that from when he was found guilty.
So he at least had 60 days, but there was trial before.
Trial, yeah. I'm sure it was months and months, if not years, to figure all this out. I mean, he had plenty of time.
They gave him way too much. Like, hey, there's this little genius guy. He stole $350 million. Maybe we should, like, keep him under our thumb. Like, let's not give him too much leeway because he might be a little bit smarter than us. So let's not give him any leg ups in on this. Let's give him a week. A week's trial.
No, dude. They just, that's the thing. That's why the government connection, in my opinion, holds a lot of water. Just all the coincidences. It seemed like he just got so lucky, and I think it was just all the strings he could pull. That's what it seems like to me, anyway.
I'm just hoping he fucked over everybody, including the government.
He fucked everybody over. It seems that way, at least. I mean, you don't have to worry about that. At the minimum, he is living free with at least $13 to $15 million for the last 20-something years. I mean, he fucked everybody over.
Nice. All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Bear Conspiracy Show. That was about the legendary John Ruffo. Please remember to like and subscribe us on Facebook. We got Spotify. We got polls going on there. We need ratings on there. But if you listen on Apple Podcasts, 5 stars. If you like us, 5 stars. If you don't. And we will see you next week for more Bear Conspiracy Show.